could talk about games. Play my Ryan and Mike.
I'm modern, I'm retro. Video game show.
Yes, we talk about games and some sounds of the stuff.
Like Star Trek, it's a blast. Our gaming podcast.
Hello and welcome to another Talk About Games. I'm Ryan.
And I'm Mike. Today, we're talking about Heroes of Might and Magic 3 and Sunset Riders.
Sunset Riders.
Sunset Riders, the arcade game.
The arcade game. Man, this is 4 arcade games in a row from me, something like that.
What's wrong with that?
Oh, I love arcades.
You know, when I first started streaming, one of the main things I wanted to do was play old arcade games. Old arcade games are my favorite thing with video games, really. I mean, I grew up playing the NES, but I think the fact that I only got to go to the arcades here and there made it like I couldn't always go. Like, it was like a special event. So, you know, and I always had the NES or the Atari at home. So it was so special to be able to go to the arcades. And then you play the arcades later and you're like, oh, wait a second. What we had on the NES and everything, that was all just a crappy port of what was in the arcades. Like, the arcades are the best thing in the world, and I don't think you should feel bad about talking about a lot of arcade games. Like, it's the best shit ever.
I like arcades because there's still mystery in it for me. Like, I've talked about every NES game, Super Nintendo, Genesis, whatever, and there's still a lot to play there, but really in the arcades, it's like, what are those boards inside those
the
things?
The mystery... from like the games comes from this, like what's happening in the games. If you play through a game completely and you're like, oh shit, I didn't know this or that was like this.
Yeah.
You might have heard of a game, but until you play a game like through thoroughly, you know, be like, oh, I didn't know on stage 5 there was this crazy thing that I didn't know about, you know? So, yeah.
Yeah. So, and a lot of times in the arcades, you didn't have the quarters or anything. So you got to like stage 1, stage 2. But what is
and then you ran out of money.
The last stage like? What is that, the boss before
it's
that?
Like, yeah,
like,
you never saw it.
It's like you don't see it.
Yeah.
So, you know, Sunset Riders is one of those games that people have a lot of fond memories of because it's one of those Konami 4-player games. And, you know, we always think of Konami 4-player games. We think of X-Men.
Turtles.
Turtles in Time. Cowboys of Moo Mesa.
Sure.
The Main Event. Mm-hmm. Wrestling. But mostly Turtles, X-Men, Simpsons,
sure,
that sort of thing. But Sunset Riders was like that. And what made those games special is they had an add-on.
Gauntlet.
Not Konami. Right.
I'm just thinking of me being a little kid and seeing the 4-player games.
Yeah.
When I was like a little kid and I'd go to the arcades back then in that era, I can maybe only one time did I get to do like the 4-player thing, like because it was usually like me and I'd be like with one friend.
Right.
I never did like the 4-people thing very often, unless another like some kids that we didn't know came up and used the machine or something like that.
So all the footage you're gonna see from me playing in this are from the 2-player version, and what's interesting is the 2-player version could have been put into any arcade cabinet, but the 4-player version is special. Because it's not just like any other arcade cabinet. It has some extensions to it. And in the arcade business, these are called kick harnesses. And they're called kick harnesses because they added the kick buttons to the Street Fighter games and other fighting games. But this is a Konami kick harness. And this is a Konami kick harness that would work on any of those games from Turtles, Simpsons, whatever, and Sunset Riders. And it was an extension... Because here, this is X-Men, by the way. This isn't Sunset Riders. But arcade games of this time period, and most arcade games, honestly, use something called a JAMA connector. So this is the JAMA connector that's here. You can see the JAMA connector.
That's where you plug it in.
That's where you plug it in. And the JAMA connector allowed for 3 buttons plus D-pad and start for 2 players. Okay.
Now, so the kick harness, just so I understand, I know you plug it in here, but then does the other end go into where the,
so
like for the buttons?
These go into the bottom. These connectors go into the bottom of the buttons on the control
yeah,
panel.
Right.
Right. Because this connector here that all arcade games have, the JAMA connector, didn't have room for four players. So you take this, you plug it into player three and player four.
What this looks like is like an NES.
Doesn't card, it?
How you plug it in. It's like yeah. the same thing, really.
It looks like if you've ever taken your NES apart, you know how the 72-pin connector goes into the slot so that it's like a U shape?
Yeah.
This looks like the bottom.
So did these contacts get dirty in the same way?
Not really, because you're not pulling them in and out as much.
Okay.
Although we do clean them when we put them into new games. Another thing, in addition to three-player and four-player controls, as well as the kick buttons in fighting games, this game also has stereo sound. But the JAMA connector only supports mono sound. So this connector here is the stereo sound out.
Okay. Because and what would that plug into?
It plugs into, this is what's called a JS. These are both JST connectors. This is a JST4.
Okay.
Because it has four. This is a JST15.
Mm-hmm.
Because it has 15 pins.
Okay.
And there's like pins for up, down, left, right.
Well, what I mean is this is going into the buttons and this is going into what?
This goes directly into the speakers.
Into the speakers.
This is actually amplified sound. This, and that's funny that you mentioned that. People who know what they're looking at would know that this X-Men wouldn't work. This board would not work.
The whole thing or just the sound?
Well, the sound board is missing.
Mm.
Now, these boards often had, they have capacitors sitting on top.
Mm-hmm.
And those capacitors were poorly made and they were coated in a like plasticky mesh and the fluid would drip down. And the fluid dripped down onto this board and these contacts here on the bottom of this board here and here are actually missing.
I wonder what the lifespan was until that started happening because they probably didn't expect these arcade machines to be relevant 25, 30 years later,
right.
You know?
So they made a reproduction board and I removed this board from here, although I was sad to notice that these contacts were damaged.
Mm-hmm. So how are you going to fix those?
So here's how you fix it. There are chips on the bottom of that board that I took off. I removed those chips from that board. They have to be soldered onto the reproduction board. Then the reproduction board is going to have a socket that goes on these pins.
Okay.
The pins that are broken are going to have tiny little wires run from the missing pin to the chip or surface mount piece that actually... the wire trace goes to on the board.
Okay, so you have to get a schematic and know where it goes to or something?
No, you don't need a schematic because you can just see it.
Oh,
you just follow it.
Okay.
Now, but these little holes here are called vias, which go from top to bottom because this board actually has two layers. So see how there's lines on the bottom?
Mm-hmm.
So whenever you hit one of those little vias, you're going to have to flip it over and keep tracking it from top to bottom.
That is not my...
So that's not fun, but yeah. I was looking at it and I could probably figure it out. But this board, because there's five or six of these that are bad,
yeah.
I went on Twitter and who did I message? I messaged Voltar.
Because he fixes all this kind of stuff.
And I'm like, hey man, you know, you can make fun of me.
Speaking of capacitors...
I don't care. I'm like, hey man, like just, you can fix this. You can make fun of me. You can do whatever you want to do. I just need your help.
So he fixed my my Turbo Duo. He's fixed a lot of things for me.
Yeah.
I've sent him because it's my fault because I've always wanted another thing done. So with my Turbo Duo, the first time he fixed like the capacitors on it, because the first thing was that wouldn't work. And then he sent it back to me. Then at some point later, I'm like, oh, I was putting my Turbo Duo into like a cubby hole thing because I used to have all my consoles like in those little cubby holes. It's not how it is anymore. But there'd be the wire, the power cord that would stick out from the side of it. And it drove me fucking crazy because I couldn't put it in. So I'd have to put it like on a separate table or something.
Right.
So I sent it back to him. I'm like, can you mod it so that's on the back? And he's like, that's easy. I can do that. So I sent it to him. He mods it. He puts it on the back, sends it back to me. I'm like, okay, that's like the second mod, I think.
Yeah.
Then I'm like, oh, I get like games like Ginga Fukai Densetsu Sapphire and all this stuff and like these Japanese games. And I'm like, oh, I need this to also play like Hue cards and like Japan only. I don't know. He did like whatever. There's like a third like mod I had him do. And And semi-recently, there was some other fucking thing I had him do to it. There's like a new board on the inside. I don't even remember. I think I've had to mod that console like 4 times.
Right.
But all because I always think of another thing later that I want done to it. So, and there's like a little switch on the back that you can switch between like the Hue card and the, switch between like, I don't even fucking remember right now. I wish I had it here to mess with it. But he's modded my Atari 2600. He fixed that because I had an RGB mod done to my Atari 2600.
Right.
And the little power cord was like falling out of the back of it. So I sent that to him. He fixed that. That was like an easy mod. And like several other consoles I've had him do. And he always does amazing work. So I'm sure that he'd be able to take care of that.
Yeah. You know? So, but me, what I'm doing is I am tired of RF.
Well, who isn't?
I'm tired of RF. And I'm tired of RF because I want to get rid of all old TVs at too many games.
I'm tired of those little devil prongs.
Yeah.
We'll get a picture in the video. You know, they'll be like on the little thing.
Like the rabbit ears.
The rabbit ear things. Yeah. So yeah. I'm tired of those. So I have this console called the Interon.
Yeah.
And that has those little fucking rabbit ears on them. And I've got these like obscure like consoles that were mostly from, you know, Europe and stuff like that. And there's always these like weird connections and shit. So I'm like, hey, Voltar, I need to do one stream with an Interon. Can you fix it? And he's like, fuck.
Right. Probably. So anyway, I have made it my goal that by too many games this year, I will have eliminated RF from the game room. So to do that, I have to mod 3 Ataris, 2 Intellivisions, and a Coleco.
Have fun.
But I'm not doing RGB, none of that shit. I'm doing composite, yellow, freaking RF plug.
That's it. Composite's fine. I honestly, at this point, like I actually prefer component at this point because...
Right.
Because I'll tell you why is because it's just as fine as RGB, but then I like to play on the consumer CRTs,
yeah.
Then I'd also have to get the CRTs modded to have like
SCART connectors,
So now I'm doing 2 mods. So if I get the console just modded to be able to do component, then I can just plug it right into the television as long as the television has component. So
my plan is to just do regular composite. Get rid of all the RF, and then we can get rid of all those adapters.
And composite's mostly pretty fine.
Right.
It's fine.
But those mods, like where it's a kit, I could do that. But when it comes to like this,
it's a little bit much.
It's a little much. Yeah. But there will be, if I have to spend $800 and get an X-Men board, there'll be X-Men in too many games no matter what.
Yeah.
Whether this gets fixed or not.
Mm-hmm.
But it's going to be, I want this one to get fixed.
Here we go. All right. I got a question for you.
Sure. When are we going to talk about fucking Sunset Riders?
We're going to get to it in a second.
Okay.
But before that, one question.
Yeah.
So for too many games, I know you've gotten lots of arcade machines.
Yes.
And they're going to be there. But at this point in time that we're shooting this video, if you could get one arcade machine in the world that could be at too many games that you do not have yet,
yes,
what would you want to get?
So I went to Portland and I went to Ground Control, which is an arcade in Portland, and they had a Paperboy.
With the
freaking handlebars.
Yeah.
Not with, let's put a wheel on it.
Yeah.
Not with, we're messing around. No, I want Paperboy with the damn handlebars.
That would be fucking sweet.
That would be amazing.
You know what I realized too about Paperboy? I know we talked a lot about Paperboy before, but Paperboy is the same exact thing as Twitch.
Right.
Paperboy is essentially me or the streamer.
Yeah.
The people that live in the houses are the chat. And all the obstacles, like the Grim Reaper coming out or the trash can coming down the street is like, you're not allowed to stream the Atari porn games. That's the little jockey that runs out.
Right.
You know, like it's the same thing. And my ability at playing the game is like the paper boy throwing the paper into the thing and trying to make it.
Right.
Paperboy, literally, I swear to God, in my mind at least, I might be insane, but I think Paperboy is Twitch. I think it's the same thing.
I don't know, man. Could be.
I think it's the same thing.
Yeah. Okay.
Today's arcade game is Sunset Riders.
Sunset Riders. So Sunset Riders came out in 1991. It came in 2- and 4-player versions. In this video, all the footage is from the 2-player version. There are 4 characters that you can play as, and all the characters represent this crazy, very 90s, like, extreme color palette. Like, you know, in 90s, we had like electric blue and neon yellow and like highlighted green and pink and stuff. And this game, even though it's like an old West, like Western game,
it's got that 90s vibe.
It's got the like 90s, like bright colors. So Steve is yellow and he has a regular like 6-shooter, right? Billy is blue and he has a similar gun. Then you have Bob and Cormano. Cormano's pink and has a shotgun. And Bob is green and has like a shotgun type gun. But everybody remembers Cormano because I think his base attack with no upgrades has like a wide shotgun.
He's like the Donatello.
But I'm going to argue and say that you would much rather have Steve or Billy, because when they have their dual guns,
if you have the dual guns,
it shoots up on a diagonal. And like in this game, the way you want to think about enemies coming at you, and this is like the pro strat, is that enemies come from the corners, right? They're coming from top right, bottom right, top left, bottom left, or a window. But in your mind, because you could shoot on diagonals, you're always thinking about what's up here, what's down here. And if you have a gun that shoots like in a triangle pattern, you could shoot straight ahead and pick off guys going this way. And the shotgun doesn't do that.
Absolutely. I totally agree with that.
Right? Because the enemies in this game don't take a lot of hits. So the fact that you could just like pummel someone from the front doesn't really help.
Doesn't matter.
And let's think. So the first enemy, the first boss.
But you're talking about if you get that little upgrade where you can, with the, Billy or.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's 2 upgrades. There's dual wield and auto fire. But auto fire, while it increases damage output and things like that, is not as fast as if you tap the button fast. This is an arcade game where you're like tap, 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 tap as fast as you can.
A lot of shmups are like that where, you know, there's shmups where you can hold down the button and you'll fire and it's like this. But then if you're tapping, it's like, you know, so it ends up being, it might not be a tapper game, but you should make it into it because you can play the game better if you're doing
right.
That.
And like, you know, you got like bullets coming at you from all directions. You're not going to want that guy to be around. Like there's sometimes where there's like barrels in the way or like the last guy, Richard Rose, there's like a concrete barrier in the way and you want to get that down. So you're like tapping away.
Right.
Because you got to break through.
You want to have that fast finger.
Yeah.
You want to be able to finger fast, which I like to call finger blast processing.
Okay.
That's my term.
That's awesome.
Somebody in the chat, I said that.
You're
in
an
the
adult,
chat the
man.
Other,
yeah.
I said that in the chat the other day. They said they're going to name their band.
They should.
Finger blast processing.
Dude, if you have a band and you play well and your name is finger blast processing, talk to me because I think we might have a stage that you could play on. Anyway, you could slide. If you jump when you're ducking, you slide. And that can be helpful, but it can also be dangerous. Another thing to remember about this game is that when you shoot, you can't die from touching enemies. They have to hit you or shoot you. So sometimes you can like dodge under them and do things, which is kind of different. There's horse stages, which are like auto runners, which is kind of interesting. You can like jump to a higher plane and a lower plane.
The horse stages are cool because, see, I get the console versions a little mixed up with the arcade, but I think there's a carriage that's in front of you that's like tossing things out at you, and you got to like grab bags of money as you're shooting guys or something.
So,
how is it in the arcade?
No. In the arcade,
yeah.
Here's what you do.
Yeah.
You know that the coach comes up and throws the logs.
Yeah.
You just ride right up to it and shoot the wheel out of it, and he'll never even throw anything.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's not like,
because in the console version, when they're throwing the stuff out, you want it to keep throwing because some of them are like extra lives and shit. So you want to like grab them. So it's different.
But in this, like, they just throw the like pink logs on the ground
okay.
that will trip up your horse and kill
and
you're
you. Trying to jump the logs.
You're trying to jump the logs, okay. but you don't even have to do that. The minute you see that stagecoach on screen, just ride all the way to the front and shoot down and just blow it away.
Does the arcade also have the mid bonus sections where you're like shooting into the background, kind of like that, those parts in RoboCop?
So what it has is there's two special stages where yeah. there are enemies appear like at all the points on the compass.
Yeah.
Like the up, down, diagonals.
And it's like houses. And
you gotta go like pop, 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 yeah, pop, yeah. pop, right? On MAME, because I didn't play this on a cabinet because I don't have it, but on MAME, I had trouble, like I should have mapped to the D-pad. Like, I'm kind of a new MAME person, so I didn't map to the D-pad. I was on my, like, analog.
Okay.
And being able to go, like, pop, pop, like do the up, down, left. It was really hard to do it. Like, I'd hit the direction.
You were playing with a stick.
Yeah.
I wouldn't play this game with a stick.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I want to clarify, there's a difference between playing with that arcade stick compared to like an Xbox controller stick. That's two different.
Yeah. I was playing it on a freaking Xbox One controller.
Yeah, you want to use the D-pad on.
Yeah, but I'll tell you, this game, even if you're playing it on an Xbox controller or whatever, I hold it like this, where you're like,
so you can do that.
Where so you can do that because you have to.
Yeah,
you know, I was telling Mike before we started filming that it's like, what if I mapped multiple action, you know, because the Xbox controller has a ton of action buttons. What if I mapped like the same action button so I could double tap?
I thought where it'd be the coolest game to do that, just for fun, would be Contra 3 Alien Wars.
Yeah.
Where you can switch between the two weapons to shoot faster. Like, I feel like that would be a good one to do that.
Yeah. You know, I was thinking, what if you made a new game and you mapped multiple action buttons and made it so you could do that? Like, it was built into the game. Like, the game was meant to be played that way.
See, that's the thing about doing that is, like, if you're doing it to an old game,
They're not meant
to be played that way. So, like, technically, I wouldn't. That's why I said just to do it for fun, because it's like, then you're screwing with the game. Because I'm very, like, purist. Like,
right.
It's got to be done the way it was meant. But if you made a new game and it was meant to be that way, then that's, you got something there.
That'd be cool.
Yeah.
Like, I'm thinking, like, now people play games. Like, even, there are people who are, like, super skilled, like Spider-Man, like Miles Morales, or, like, at, you know, Devil May Cry, or like these combo based like fighting games.
I'm real bad at that.
But you're very like methodical, like they're tapping in like a cadence and blocking and things like that. But the like super like hit the button as fast as you can is like a lost art.
I think most people don't like it.
Yeah.
You know?
I like it because like
I didn't like it like when you're playing like Mario Party like on a controller because you have to do this. I would end up because I can tap the button like faster like that, kind of like you're doing it like in the arcade. So I would take like the N64 or GameCube controller and I would go like I would always go like that because I could do it faster that way. And in the arcade, like if I have the arcade buttons in front of me, like doing like that, I can do it fast. But when you're trying to do like that with your thumb, it's like you can't do it that fast. So that's why you're holding the controller like that,
right?
Yeah, doing that.
I like it because like video games, you don't want to feel like you're just like this like bum just sitting. You're just sitting with the controller like, you know what I mean? Like, I want to feel like I'm like engaged. I'm alert. I have my...
To a point.
You know?
Like, where I feel like it goes too far is like the Wii. Like, I don't want to be standing doing this.
No, that's
either.
Fine. That's fine. But like, if the game is just like, oh, now I press jump. Like, late at night, I have trouble playing like tactical RPGs and stuff.
Yeah.
Because I'm like... You know, like, I have to play those games in the morning to get value out of them.
Okay.
But a game like Sunset Riders, I could play, like, at 11 o'clock at night.
Because you're more laid back?
No, because you're more, like, engaged.
Okay.
I'm not, like, falling asleep.
I say.
Yeah, right?
Right. Okay.
So when you have to, like, tap, it's like, I'm doing something.
It's like, oh, the certain time of day. It's like when you first wake up and your hands are, like, still waking up.
Yeah.
And you're like, I can't, you know, do that yet.
Right? No, but that's the opposite. Like, I would rather play, like, an RPG at, like, 9 a.m., but then at 11 p.m.
That makes sense.
I'd rather play, like,
a... 'Cause you're up and going. Yeah.
Up, you know, keep it going, right? So, dude, I got to talk about this here. Like, this game's a good video game, okay? It's a lot of fun to play, but, like, people aren't going to like the way that... It talks about like indigenous peoples and stuff like that. This game could never be made today. I just want to put that out there. Like, some of the, like, depictions, you got to look at this game like you look at, like, old Disney cartoons and things like that. Like, the world is kind of, like, moved.
You're gonna
from
have
it.
Leonard Maltin come out and he's gonna be like, you know, in the 1910s things were different. And you're like, no kidding,
right? Like, if they release this game in a collection now, there would probably be like a disclaimer, a warning.
So just for people that may have not played this game before, what about, like, let's talk about the different stages. And,
okay,
like,
sure. You know. So the first stage, you start in, like, a frontier town, and you're jumping up and down, and you're fighting this guy called Simon Greedwell. And he's, like, a fat guy who's parked
that
in a
saloon.
That sounds
like an old Scrooge McDuck enemy. Yeah. I'm Simon Greedwell.
He is, right? Yeah. And when he dies, he says, bury me with my money, right? That's, like, the common
and
thing.
And you shoot up at the barrels that come down,
yeah,
right, or something.
And then guys are coming from all sides. So then you get on your horse, and all your characters have different beautifully animated horses. I just want to mention, like Steve has a different horse than Cormano has.
Right.
So you ride in. And what are you doing? You're chasing a train, right? Because it's a Western. We're chasing trains. You fight against Hawkeye Hank.
Is there a part also in the arcade where you're like, there's like,
yeah,
the
if you press
on the
down,
train that are coming?
If you press down, you can duck on the side of your horse.
Oh, that. Okay.
Yeah, which is kind of neat. So you fight Hawkeye Hank at the train station, and he does rolls. But the thing about him is you're fighting him, and he's in the distance. You're shooting in the background. And then all of a sudden, when he's about to die, he jumps at you. And you have to, like, duck and start shooting him so he dies.
Okay.
Because
then he's
on the same
plane
as you, and you don't want that. Right? After that, you do a mini game where you're shooting the eight directions. Mm-hmm. And you do all that. And then you fight Dark Horse. And I'm sorry, Dark Horse is like a freaking, like, weird leather daddy on a horse.
Okay.
So you fight him. And that's kind of creepy. And then a girl comes out of the saloon and she's like, oh, they're, you know, thank you for saving me.
A leather daddy? Is that what
that's
said?
What he is. He's a leather daddy. Like, he's got, like, chaps on. He's like, it's, like, bad. It's like,
it's like that guy in the first stage of Double Dragon 2.
Yeah.
That, like, dissolves, but he's got, like, that outfit.
That's, yeah. Right. It's like, I'm like, what am I playing?
You're like, I gotta not play this anymore.
I don't want to play this.
I'm playing Axelay.
Right? So I play that, and then you go in and you fight the Smith brothers in the saloon. And
oh, that part's cool. There's, like, chandeliers.
Chandeliers.
Yeah.
And it feels like a Contra Alien Wars fight because you gotta, like, jump and hang and, like, go back and forth and jump down.
It's like the helicopter part where you're hanging off the missiles. Kind
yeah.
Of. Yeah.
So you gotta do that. So you fight the Smith brothers, and then the girls come out and do a dance for you. Yeah. You know? So you're doing that, and then you fight El Greco. And El Greco is the worst fucking design boss in this whole game. I want to get rid of El Greco.
I don't remember that one.
El Greco has a shield and a bullwhip.
Oh, that guy. Is he standing on, like, a, there's, like, a wall?
There's, like, a different train platform, and there's, like, a wall on the side.
Yeah.
And, like, fighting this guy, like, what they want you to do is, like, go back all the way to the end and shoot this dude. And then when he's coming towards you, they want you to slide and quickly go to the other side. Mm-hmm. If he does a bullwhip, it just kills you. But that boss fight sucks. Mm-hmm. Because, like, the way you would do it to not get hit, you'd be like, oh, I gotta run to the right. Like, it's very, like,
particular.
Input intensive. Mm-hmm. And it's like, this isn't fun, right? The next boss, and this is the boss I have the most problem with, is Chief Scalpum.
Mm-hmm.
And he is, like a native.
He throws the knives down, right?
Down on diagonals.
And you gotta, like, don't
you gotta,
like,
dodge him. So the thing is that Chief Scalpum, you want to be under him. Basically, but not entirely under him.
Like, a little bit to the side.
Because if you're under him directly, like, you'll be easy to dodge.
It's like,
but he'll jump down and just slash you.
It's like the waterfall boss in Contra 3, or in Contra, where the fireball is going to come down from the skull. So you want to just shoot up at it, but if you're a little bit to the side, you can just, like, shoot straight up at
it,
a little bit like that.
That's what's
except
like.
In that, that's all you got to do. In this, he's like jumping all over the place.
He's jumping all over the place, and knives are coming down. And if you go right under him,
you're going to die.
he'll just jump down and slash you.
Right.
So it's like you got to be off a little bit, because if you are all the way like opposite to him,
yeah,
where you would think you.
And when you shoot at him, doesn't he like block your?
No.
Oh, I thought he like blocks your like.
No, jump. That's the guy before.
Okay. I haven't played so in a while.
You get like over, like if you get too far away, the knives will come down at you at too,
like that,
too yeah. much of an angle
to where you can't get around.
To where you can't get. Now, probably what you're supposed to do is, now that I'm thinking of it, is slide under them.
Probably.
Yeah. So I was probably doing it wrong.
Okay.
But I mean,
that's the kind of thing comes from practice. Practice yeah, makes perfect. Keep playing it, you get better.
So that's him. His stage also has the enemies that shoot the fire arrows at you, and they're always shooting you at the most like
don't boulders come down?
Boulders come down,
jump
yeah.
over them and all
and
that.
They're always shooting you. You're like, I want to go here, but there's lots of arrows.
Yeah,
like I almost wish I had the metal slug grenades, because then I'd just be like over here doing that.
Do like a combo game.
Yeah,
metal slug meets Sunset Riders.
No, that'd be cool. So. You would want to have those grenades there, because then you wouldn't have to jump up and do things. This game is very much like, most of the time the answer is go, 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 go.
Mm-hmm.
But when the answer isn't go, 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 it's really not
right.
go, go, go.
Because you're going to die.
Right.
Yeah.
So this is the next horse stage. More horse stage. And I'll tell you, after you get through the native stage, going to the horse stage, it's like so much easier.
Yeah. It drops down a little
bit. It drops down. Yeah. Like, this is probably...
It's your little break, your breath of fresh air for yeah. a minute.
Yeah. Because, like, the train stage with El Greco is, like, that's one where you want to move.
Yeah.
And then the native stage, you want to, like, not move. And then the horse stage, you're just like, I just did this stuff.
Yeah.
Right? And you fight Paco Loco, and he stands on a wall, and he has a machine gun.
That's the wall guy I was thinking of, yeah.
Yeah.
And he's like bald, right?
Yeah. He's like bald bull.
Right. I'm standing up there.
Yeah. And he's standing up there and he's like shooting at you. And like that fight isn't that hard. Although if you rush it, he's going to get you.
Okay.
You know, because you kind of want to be at like a weird angle. Yeah. Right. So then you get to the mine. And the mine is where like there's a ton of boulders. But the key thing you have to remember about the mine is all these enemies are on the screen coming at you, but there's always like a bomb or something that you could shoot at. And your number one job is to shoot that bomb. Because you can never shoot everything that's coming at you.
Okay.
But you like slide up, shoot the bomb, go on to the next thing, you'll get through it.
Is this stage, I'm trying to remember the stages, where like you're kind of like jumping up to the top and jumping down and then it's like fire?
There's a quite a bit of fire here. There's yeah. fire in other stages, like even stage one has a fire element.
Yeah.
But this one is, there's a lot of fire.
Okay.
And you fight Sir Richard Rose. Mm. And it's a lot like the Simon Greedwell battle, but just extreme.
He's in a white suit?
He's in a suit. Yeah. He's like a rose guy. He's yeah, got like roses and stuff. Enemies, like the regular enemies that spawn around him are like the dudes who are in like the black or like the purplish suits,
mm-hmm.
and they shoot as soon as they spawn.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, that's the only part that's harder about the horse stage, horse two,
mm-hmm.
is a lot more of the purple black suit dudes spawn.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, problem.
So at this point in the game, you got those guys coming out and you got this Richard Rose guy and they're all shooting at you. And now the game's almost turning into a bullet hell.
There's
what
bullets
I remember.
Everywhere.
It's everywhere.
Right? And you gotta like, if you don't kill the dudes.
And when you slide, don't you go through the bullets?
Yes.
That's like your one thing that's like saved you.
So the dudes that spawn eventually, if you kill enough of them, they'll stop. So I don't shoot at him. You're just shooting at all these guys that are coming at you.
Because once they're gone, then you can just focus on him.
Exactly. So you focus on him and you shoot him and he falls down off the top. And he's like, aha! And just like so many Westerns, he has like the metal plate.
Back to the Future 3.
Yeah. Yeah. Right? He's like, oh, I got the metal plate. So he comes out and you fight him, you kill him, and then you get the credits.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you're playing this in the arcade and you're near the end, don't like overfeed the quarters.
Why?
Because after you beat the game, like you're you're stuck with the extra credits. Yeah. Like the game just loops.
Right.
And here you are, and now I have like credits in the
machine. I wonder if like loop two gets faster or something.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, it loops. Like the credits stay.
So the one thing I always think of when I talk about Sunset Riders is I did a test one time on stream, or I think it was on stream. Or maybe I did it on my own spare time, but for sure I did this test. I played the arcade version, I played the Super Nintendo version, and I played the Genesis version because I wanted to know for a fact one of the things I was wondering.
Yes.
Because I used to always play the Genesis version of it.
Right.
And, you know, a lot of people will talk about how the Super Nintendo version is better for certain reasons, and there are reasons why it is, and then the arcade version, why that's the most superior version. But the Genesis version has one thing that the other two versions do not have.
Okay.
It has the lock, which I really like, where you can lock yourself in place and shoot the the button, because the Super Nintendo and the arcade versions are more like Contra 1, where you just have to run around and shoot, and it's more like it's more like that. So depending on your – if you're a person that likes games like that, like the run-and-gun type of games, if you like it to have the lock, you want to go for the Genesis version. But if it doesn't bother you – see, I'm a person – I like both, because I like the original Contra, you know, when you're just running around. That doesn't bother me. Some people hate that. They want that lock to lock in place. Then you want to go for the Genesis version. But I like it. I like it all. I mean, probably the best version is probably the arcade version, because usually it's hard to beat the arcade.
The music is so good. Like, you couldn't do, because I mean, like these boards have like all this sound hardware, and they have the stereo, and they have like, it's just so good.
Yeah.
The music in this game is so good.
Yeah.
But I can imagine that having the lock would be super awesome.
It makes the game really fun. I would say play it again sometime on the Genesis, because having that lock really, you're like, this is nice to have.
What I like about this game is there are so many shooters out there that don't have a style.
Oh, well, this has definitely got a style.
It's got like the brightly colored characters, and it's a Western. Mm-hmm. And it's not another like, oh, we're shooting aliens.
There's
all these like evil cowboy dudes coming at you, and it has all the tropes from like Westerns and stuff. And it's pretty cool, and it's very 90s, and it's very like unique.
Mm-hmm.
And the music's good. Like there's a lot to like, but it's also a very simple game. There's only two power-ups. There's, you know, the different characters really, I mean, they're different, but they're not super different other than...
That's one of the reasons I like Jackal a lot, because it's like, you're on the ground, you're in a tank, you're shooting grenades, as opposed to, it's another space shooter. There's too many space shooters. They need to take that same idea of shmups and apply it to more, you know, in bullet hells. And I would even argue to a degree that Sunset Riders is kind of a bullet hell, you know? And you're absolutely right. The theming of it is so damn good.
Right.
Yeah.
So, like, I think it would be cool. It's like, imagine if they did a shooter where you're, like, some type of, like, big game hunter.
Oh, that's cool.
And there's all these, like, rhinos coming at you and, like, different things. Like, nobody's ever done that. And
animal people might have a problem with that.
And you're getting, like, elephant guns and stuff. Yeah. But maybe eventually they turn into, like, mutants and they're...
Right.
Like, you know, that kind of thing.
Right.
Or like, first it starts with like coyotes, but then you're fighting like these other things.
Right.
Like,
I always wanted, talk about like a game like that. I always wanted a Mario shmup.
It's like Mario.
Well, they kind of, and people will always say they have it in Mario Land.
They do the flying stages.
But I mean like a full game.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think that'd be cool. And you wouldn't have to kill anybody. It's like you could shoot a Koopa Trooper or something, and then he comes out in like a little parachute or something.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you could do it and have it be okay.
Right. It's like Mario, it's like super gritty. It's like Call of Duty has like licensed weapons.
Dude, but imagine like the end boss, like Bowser's like in a spaceship and you're like fucking shooting like the things off. So, I don't know. I think a Mario shmup.
That'd be interesting.
I
think the world would go crazy about a Sonic shmup with
that'd
all the
cool
characters and stuff, and you're like going through the rings to get power-ups and stuff. It'd be pretty cool. But you know, Sunset Riders, you know, despite the problems I talked about, it's a cool game, and the arcade version is super accessible, and it's like a big part of history. I think it's the most unique of the Konami four-player games mm-hmm. because it's its own thing.
It's right. It's not licensed. Yeah.
And then, but if you want a spiritual successor, and I was telling Justin that we were going to play this game, and he came to me, and Justin's like, "You better talk about this," or you know, Cowboys of Mu Mesa.
Well, that's a little bit of a different game because that's more of a beat 'em up.
Even though it's licensed, Justin believes that it's like a spiritual successor.
Okay. Well, okay. It's like Western themed and whatever. Right. Yeah. I tried watching like an episode of the cartoon of that. And right. I was like, no.
Yeah. So are you like Mu Mesa or Brave Star?
Probably Brave Star.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's better. But yeah.
I like the intro of that.
Yeah. I've been trying to watch Robotech.
Oh, that's awesome.
You watch Robotech at all?
Yeah, Macross and all that.
I've been getting into that.
A lot of the Battletech mechs are based on Robotech. Yeah. So you'll see.
I'm hoping on a later episode we're going to do some Robotech.
Like the Zentradi Battle Pod is the Marauder.
Yeah.
In there.
Yeah. So,
So what do you got?
So what I got from the game I played is a real bad carpal tunnel in my arm.
You might notice
in this whole episode I've been rubbing my arm because I've been playing a lot of Heroes of Might and Magic, but I'm not blaming Heroes of Might and Magic.
But that's like you're picking commands and stuff, right?
So I sit like, you know, this, and it's not just that. It's like Doom does it to me. Anything with like a mouse and keyboard, I can only play for so long.
Well, because you get like the claw.
I can do about 2 hours. But when I go more than once I get to 3 hours, my arm starts hurting. I played this game for like 7 hours.
And wow.
I can't be doing that because like my arm has been hurting since then. So I got to like chill out with it.
Get a trackball.
I have a vertical I have an ergonomic mouse.
Yeah.
And I have like the wrist brace. I have a lot of like carpal tunnel stuff already, but it's like if I go too far with it, it doesn't matter. Like I shouldn't be playing that long, but this is a game that you got to like put a lot of hours into.
Yeah.
So it's like. Anyway, though, so Heroes of Might and Magic. I played the third one because everybody that I talk to usually recommends the third one. They say it's like the best in the series. But there's a lot of these games. I think there's like 7 of them or something. They came out for many years. This is a turn-based strategy game, and I know Ryan likes his turn-based.
Oh, I love my turn-based strategy games.
Grid. Do you have some favorite turn-based grid strategy?
Well,
stuff?
You know, I loved Final Fantasy Tactics.
Final Fantasy Tactics.
On this, you know, Advanced Wars is really good.
You like Into the Breach?
I like Into the Breach. That's good. If you want to go back to the NES, you ever play Conflict? That's Hexes, but it's still turn-based.
Right.
Yeah, the Victokai classic.
All that.
Conflict and Super Conflict.
So you got a little bit, and when you play the battles, you got, what are they, hexagons?
Yeah.
Little spots and all that. There's a little bit of that.
So that's kind of cool. Shining Force.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Shining Force, all that stuff.
None of this, like, you're playing, like, this Western PC game, and everything I named was, like, from Japan. Pretty much.
Yeah, this is very different.
No, I do play like strategy. I've played games like this before and I enjoyed them.
Just to be clear, like stuff like Into the Breach and whatever, that's a different style of gameplay than this is.
Civilization, Alpha Centauri, games like that.
Stuff like that. Yeah. This game's a little different though. Basically, the reason I wanted to play this game in the first place is you know very well that I one of my favorite games is like Warcraft 2, Tides of Darkness.
Yeah.
It's the same type of thing where you got your like mini map and you got your map and you're scrolling the map and it's overhead, the whole thing. It's very similar to that in a lot of ways. But the thing that stood out from this, and I've known about this series since forever. I remember seeing it in the stores and stuff back in the days, but I never had played it until just the other day. I always wanted to, I just never did. So what stood out to me is the graphics. When you see that like overhead map and just the way like the trees look and just like the sprites of the buildings, people sometimes ask, you know, those sort of generic video game questions like, if you could live in any video game world, what would you want to live in?
Right.
My answer is definitely Heroes of Might and Magic. You know, people would be like, oh, Hyrule or something like that.
Yeah.
The world of Heroes of Might and Magic is like beautiful. And like, there's like rivers and like, it's just like this beautiful picturesque place and castles and stuff. And just like, I just love how it looks. So that was the thing that attracted me. you know, you walk into the comic book store and you see the front cover and you're like, oh, I got to buy that comic book because of the cover.
That's cool.
It was the graphics that made me want to play this game. So then I'm like, okay, well, what kind of game is it? And so, like, it's a turn-based strategy thing. The way it works is it's actually really, you know, I say Heroes of Might and Magic, but I think it's really called Heroes, and Might and Magic is kind of like the subtitle.
Because there is a separate series of games that isn't Heroes of Might and Magic.
Yeah.
It's just Might and Magic.
That's like a sub.
And they go way back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this is based around these heroes that you get. You get a hero when you start, or sometimes you get a couple heroes, and your hero has a little meter next to him, and it's a green meter. And you can choose to move to a certain spot. So there might be across the map like a windmill that you got to make it to, let's say. So you click the windmill and the guy walks over there and it's like, oh, he didn't quite get to the windmill. That's because you ran out of your green meter, and that's as much as you can do. So there's like two things that you want to do per day. This game is based in weeks, and you do a certain amount of actions per day. And basically, the next thing that you would do in the game is, you know, after you do your movement, then you go to your castle area, and you want to do all the things that's in your town, your castle. So like there's like a town hall, which you want to upgrade your town hall, because every time you upgrade your town hall, you will get more gold, and you can use the gold to make more soldiers. But you might not be able to make the town hall yet, because there might be another requirement. Like, you cannot build a town hall until you make a barracks first. I don't know. I'm new to the game, so I don't know exactly off the top of my head what the requirements are. But a lot of times you can't build one building without building another building.
I got a question.
First.
Why didn't you memorize the tech tree, man? Why didn't you do that?
I could have written it down. I didn't do that either. I didn't even write it down.
Doesn't matter. You know why? Because it doesn't matter.
Well, then we're going to die.
I get the point.
I mean, we're going to go that route again.
What matters?
What matters?
No, but...
We can make the podcast about what matters. None of this. none of this matters.
That's funny. No, I just
why play the game if it's gonna give me carpal tunnel syndrome?
Right,
right.
Like, yeah, it's like massive. Gets real. No.
I mean,
please, no.
Yeah. So
that's fine.
So I mean, the thing, we're doing this show.
Yeah.
And so we're talking about the video games. That's why, I don't know. We could just not.
No,
we could give up.
No, like, I'm glad you played Might and Magic.
Yeah.
I don't think it's necessary to have the tech tree memorized. I was just giving you a hard time. I know.
So you move your little man around the little map.
Okay.
Okay.
So you're doing that.
And when you move around, you might see like a little sword or something.
Sure.
But there's like an enemy in front of it. So you got to kill the enemy to get the sword behind him, right?
And what are the enemies like? Like, tell me some of the enemies.
So there's like...
skeletons.
There's a lot of Medusa looking enemies. There's a lot of like Minotaur type of guys, shit like that, you know, skeletons and little demon, like lots of demons and all that kind of shit. Like
demons.
Shit that came out of hell.
Okay.
All that kind of stuff.
Wow.
So when you go to fight them, then it goes to a different screen where that's where you get the hexagonal like look.
Oh, we're getting the hex.
We're getting to the hex. So then you can move your characters like a little closer. What I like to do is I like to get a lot of like ranged attack enemies, like archers and monks, because you have these other motherfuckers on the other side of the screen and it's like a demon, but the demon's got a fireball and he's like, aha. If you're just like a little dude with a sword,
like half dead by the time you get there.
Exactly. You got to walk all the way over there. So you need to have like some ranged units. So when I play, I'm like, first thing you want to do is you want to upgrade your like town so you can start getting money.
Right.
But after you do that, like, I want to get those archers and I want to get the monks, and then you can upgrade all these units so you can get like better archers or better monks that, you know, and that they're the ones that will throw the you know, all the projectile stuff so you can shoot it, and you can get like ballistas and all that kind of shit. So you want to get your like a lot of your ranged attack stuff. Yeah. So there's the enemies. You shoot them, they die, they're dead, and when they die, you get a little... You can choose either gold or experience.
Right.
And stuff like that, or they might drop, like, an item. Like, sometimes there's a million different types of items. Like, they might drop some kind of badge. And then what happens when it goes back to the map, you can click on your character, and then your character comes up, and it's like, it shows all the different little slots like your character has. Like he might get like a breastplate or he might get a crown. And then if you right click on that, be like, well, what does the crown do? Be like, it might increase your knowledge. What does that do? When you go back to the town, you can buy a book to get magic. And if the higher your knowledge level, I think the better magic spells you can do and things like that. It's a lot. There's like a lot to the game. It's a little bit, if you haven't played a game like this before, it's like kind of a lot to learn at first. But once you learn it, it's like really fun. If you like this type of style of game, I think a lot of people don't like this type of game, but there's people that love this kind of shit. Yeah, so like I said, let's say there's like a little sword there. You grab the sword and then, you know, again, it goes onto your guy and you click that. It might be attack plus two or something like that. And gradually you're going around, you're collecting artifacts and you're like leveling up your character. Let's talk about the different units that you can get. So when you're in your town, you're building, you build a castle and you build a barracks and you build the griffin tower. You can get griffins and all these different things. You can get pikemen, you can get archers, you can get swordsmen, you can get monks, you can get cavaliers, the guys on the horses, you know. And the best unit that you can get that I've seen so far, I'm early in the game, is you can get angels.
Okay.
And the angels are like, they can take a lot of hits and they're just like badasses. There's one angel that has like a flaming sword and shit, and it's just like they're like really more powerful than like all the other units. If you've got like a group of angels, like you're pretty good.
Right.
Another thing, when you're on the battle map, you might see an enemy. Let's say the enemies come up and it's a skeleton, and the skeleton says, you know, 20 on it. It's only showing one skeleton on the screen, but that means there's 20 of those skeletons.
Right.
And then if there's like a little minotaur guy, it might say 50. That means there's 50 of those minotaurs.
Holy
even though
crap.
It's only showing one.
And they like all show up, like all 50 of them? Or?
No, they don't all show up. What I'm saying is it represents it.
Okay.
So it'll show one skeleton, but that means there's 50 of them. So there might be two skeletons on the screen, and one might say 20 and one might say 80. You know that the 80 one has more skeletons than the other one, so you're going to, you know, that guy's stronger than the other guy. So, but how do you know going into a battle? Like, when you're on the map screen, it's like, okay, there's a Minotaur guy, and I'm going to have to fight him. Before you move your guy to him, you can check how strong he is before you fight him, because you want to make sure you're a match for them.
Right.
So I wrote down I did write something down. I wrote down, I didn't write the tree down, but I wrote this down. So let's say there's a skeleton or whatever the fuck it is.
There's a skeleton.
Or a Medusa or something. Okay. And you're like, but how powerful is that Medusa? And when you click it, it might not just be a Medusa. It's a Medusa and all her fucking friends are there.
Yeah.
And then you click it and it shows all the different types of monsters. And
I
whatever.
Just want to talk about Medusa for a second. There is a T-Mobile commercial that pisses me off.
Is Medusa in it?
So Medusa, I think it's T-Mobile. Yeah, Medusa's in it, and the commercial's like, oh, are you sad that, you know, you don't have any friends, basically? Because Medusa, everybody's coming to see her,
yeah,
and she gets, you know, they're all turned into stone,
yeah,
right? And they're like, yeah, well, if you sign up for our thing, you're going to get sunglasses, and then you could be hot and hang out with all your friends at the bar.
Is it like you want to have the sunglasses because otherwise you'll turn to stone?
And then she's got the sunglasses, and she's like happy, and she's out with her friends. And
If she takes the sunglasses off, then you turn to stone.
Yeah.
Right.
So, but she got the sunglasses on whatever service was doing the stupid commercial. And then she's sitting with her friends because she's got the sunglasses and she's happy because she bought this product that they're advertising. And then
are they advertising the sunglasses or something else?
They're advertising like buying the sunglasses. Uh-huh. It might be like Amazon.
Okay.
Like, oh, you get sunglasses on Amazon or whatever.
I like how all the Amazon commercials now are all like, we treat our employees well. It's not like it's not like for a product. It's just that's their advertising.
Yeah, but anyway, then sure you do.
Yeah, right. If you have to say that, then you don't.
Right.
You know who else should fucking make those commercials is Disney.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah.
Yeah.
Woohoo! We have fun, right, Kate? Yeah. Yes, Mickey. You know?
Yeah, Mickey's crazy.
Donald's like
So then at the end of the commercial, a guy at the bar like waves to her. Just waves to her. No issue. She's like, takes the glasses down and turns them to stone.
Right.
I'm like, this is an awful commercial.
Yeah.
So I'm like anti-Medusa right now.
You know what other commercial I don't like?
What?
Yeah, I don't know if you've seen them, but there are all these commercials. The first one, there's apparently another one with another celebrity now, but the first one I saw, it's a finger that comes up like this, and it's like, buy whatever. I think it's like a casino thing or something. I don't fucking know. But it's like John Goodman's face is like on the finger. And he's,
that's
like,
so weird.
He's like talking to you about whatever the ad is, and it's really disturbing.
Yeah.
I don't like those commercials.
Oh, my God.
Anyway, the Medusa is on the map.
Yes.
And you hover over it, and you're like, how strong is this pack of enemies?
Pretty strong.
So,
because this is a hard game.
If it says few, it's only 1 to 4.
Okay.
If it says several, it's 5 to 9. If it's a pack of them, it's 10 to 19. But you don't know the numbers. It just says pack. Okay?
Okay.
So I'm gonna ask you a question. You don't know this stuff. So what do you think is stronger? A throng or a swarm?
Oh my God. A swarm.
That's correct.
Yes.
So what do you think is stronger? A horde or lots?
Horde.
Yes.
Yeah.
Also correct. So a pack or lots?
That's hard. Probably lots.
Ryan has gotten them all correct so far. So here, I got another one for you. What do you think is more? A legion or zounds?
A legion or zounds?
Yeah.
Probably zounds.
That, yeah, that one wrong.
Oh, really?
So,
how the fuck? That's not even a word.
That's why I'm bringing it up.
Yeah.
Is because when I first played it, I'm like, I don't know if a fucking pack is more than a swarm. Like, how do I know? So you have to learn these things as you go. So a throng is 100 to 249. Swarm is 250 to 449. Zounds is 500 to 999. And a legion is 1,000 plus.
Wow.
So if you get a legion of Medusas, you're fucking dead. Game over. Fuck you.
You know? Have you ever seen a legion?
I haven't even gotten that far. I haven't even seen zounds yet. I've seen a swarm.
Oh, yeah?
That's the most I've seen so
far.
You're
like, oh, shit, it's Swarm.
I only just started playing the game, and like I said, we got a fucking carpal tunnel and shit.
So why doesn't it just tell you the number?
Maybe it does when I'm stupid, and maybe you can click something and it shows you. I don't know, but because I don't think so.
As cool as that is, because it's good storytelling. A swarm of Medusas came to the land. You know, that's kind of cool. But
speaking of the storytelling thing, so one of the funny kind of cool things about like Warcraft 2 is in between the levels, they'll show like a little like animation.
Yeah.
And it's that old like Blizzard animation, you know? This game has very similar, like, you know, it's that old like 90s like cutscene stuff. Where it's like really cool.
It's like
looking.
Bad 3D.
It's bad, but it's like charming.
Yeah.
You know?
I agree. Even like Lemmings has that.
You know?
Yeah.
So another thing that you can do is you can use magic attacks. So it's not, you know, you got your pikemen and they'll, you know, they'll stab, and the swords, you use swords and all that stuff. And the archers, obviously, you can imagine. But the magic spells, you get a whole book of magic spells, and you can do things like you can weaken your enemies. You can use lightning attacks, and there's different lightning attacks. There's ice and frost attacks. There's one that's cool. It's called like a fire wall, where you can like block off your enemies. So it gets a little bit interesting with all the magic attacks. And I haven't gotten all the magic attacks. And I can imagine if I'm like later in the game, all the different like magics you would get to be able to use.
Is it always the same map, or do you have to like beat the level? And
it's
then
like scenarios.
Oh, okay.
So you do the scenario, and that's the map, and then you go to the next map,
right?
Just like Warcraft 2.
Yeah, yeah.
The next thing you can do is, so you have your hero, right?
Yeah.
But then you can make another hero.
Okay.
So now you have two heroes. So now the game is based on movement. Like you can only move this far or this way or this far or that way. You can land on things like little map things where it's like you can increase how far you can walk and stuff like that. So you want to like be definitely.
So there's like bonuses
those.
That are like on the map that you could get.
Yeah, you're like grabbing them on the like like they're like on the map. You get them and it tells you what they do. And a lot of times you can choose one thing or the other thing, stuff like that.
I see.
So you get the different heroes in the towns. You go to the town, and there's I think it's like the alehouse or the bar or whatever the hell it is. I forget the names of everything, but you go and you can like hire another hero. When you get the other hero, one of the things you can do is you can, let's say there's your main castle that you've been working on, but then there's another castle over here, and you're like, yo, I can make units faster if I have one of my heroes at this castle, one of these heroes at this castle. So then you start making multiple heroes, and that's where the game starts to get more interesting, is now you get to the point where you have three castles, and you're trying to get three kingdoms going at the same time so that you can make more units and stuff like that. And another thing that you can do that's really cool is you can take one of your heroes and you can I forget what it's called, but you can kind of like set them in the tower so that they're basically inside of the castle. So if that castle gets attacked by a bunch of enemies, they won't take it over, because what'll happen is there's all these different buildings on the map, and the enemies, there's like the basic enemies that just stand there and don't move, but then there's like the main enemies that come and they're moving around the map, and they can literally move to your main castle and take over the whole fucking castle. And if they do that, then you have to go back to your castle and you have to reclaim your castle. And if they put like a throng of guys in your castle, you're fucked. So you don't want that to happen. So you want to leave like a hero and a bunch of enemies, a bunch of your own archers and warriors there, so that they don't take your castle over, stuff like that. I know there's a lot to this game. It's like this is the type of game that I could sit here for 3 hours and talk about. And I know I know for a fact there's videos on YouTube of people talking
super
about
detailed.
Super detailed talking about this for hours and hours and hours. So people seemed surprised sometimes. I was streaming this the other day and they're like, oh, Mike's playing a game like this. I wouldn't expect it. But like, I've streamed Warcraft 2 before. I've streamed Starcraft before. I've streamed stuff like, you know, like tower defense games or whatever. People know me for like NES games and stuff like that. But I love stuff like this. And I'm going to be totally honest about something right now. So in like my real life, like, you know, I like to go on stream and play NES games or whatever. But if I didn't stream or do videos, absolutely I would play NES games here and there. But the type of games that I like to sit and play when I'm totally by myself is shit like this.
I play a lot of games like that. And then like the sun's coming up and you're like,
yes.
Oh my God, I've been playing this for 8 hours.
Like, there's something about these type of games, like the strategy of them, and there's just got a lot going on. And like, I just like to sit there. I got my like cup of tea and I got my game and I'm just like playing it. And it's kind of, you know what I like about this is there's no like real time limit. Like, you can make your move and it's like, I'm gonna take a break for 10 minutes and go do something else. You make yourself something to eat, come back, and then you do your next move. Like, yeah, I love that.
That's cool.
As opposed, it's probably, it goes into why I don't do like speed runs. I don't like to be on a timer.
Yeah,
I like just to do things at my own pace. So anyway, so here's a Might and Magic. I think the game's fantastic. It's not for everybody, but if you like strategy stuff and you haven't tried it. Oh, something I have to mention is, so there's the original version of the game, and I have the original like box versions and stuff like that. But
oh, cool.
That's not how I played it, though. You can buy the game on Steam, but that's like an HD like remake, whatever. A lot of people say don't try that one. I bought it on GOG, which is like the original PC version, but then there's an HD like upgrade to that makes it like improvements. So I'm playing that version. It's like,
I see.
Yeah. So it's like,
oh, that's cool. So this game's been around.
It's like a modded version of the GOG version is the one I'm doing.
Oh, neat.
So yeah. Anyway, it's an awesome game. Totally recommend it. I think everybody should play it.
That's cool.
Yeah.
And likewise, Sunset Riders, definitely recommend.
Oh, but Sunset Riders.
You check it out.
Sunset Riders is a classic.
It's a classic.
Everybody should play both of these games, I think, you know? So.
No, definitely.
Two good games this week. How about that?
Doesn't always happen.
No. Sometimes I bring in Temple of Doom and Ryan's like, here we go.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Thank you very much for watching. That is this episode of Talk About Games. As you probably have heard by now, you know, sorry if it sounds like a broken record at this point, but we do have a Patreon where we do extra content on there, and you should definitely check that out because there's a lot of extras on there.
Yeah, we do one extra video every week.
And also, make sure to leave us a little review on Apple Music on your app and leave a star rating, all that good stuff, because it helps out the show. If you like the show, that's a way that you can help support us. Thanks for watching, guys.
Thanks for watching. See you next time.
Bye.